Wrapping up our series in prayer, we're going to talk about how to do spiritual warfare to get scriptural promises for our children. This is the Great Shalom Broadcast, proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children. Welcome back. I'm so glad you came back, and we are in a series on prayer. Last time we talked about the depth and the joy of prayer and how it is available, and gave you some kind of clues about the pattern there. But I know that most of you who come and visit with me are mothers who are concerned about their children. And I'm the only ministry that I know of that really talks about believing for learning problems. But of course, there are all other kinds of problems too that parents are believing for. And never has this been more necessary than today. And so you want probably to hear more about praying for your children. And yes, everything we have talked about in terms of praying in faith does apply, and not blocking the blessing does apply. But I want to talk with you specifically about the promises in Scripture that talk about you praying for your children. Because you know that if you hear the Word of God, it brings faith, and therefore you can pray more powerfully. And we've talked about using the words of Scripture to pray. The Lord says to remind him, but of course we need to remind ourselves and encourage ourselves with the word of Scripture. And of course, the first verse that I want to talk with you about is Isaiah 54 and verse 13. Isaiah is a great book all about the coming of the Messiah, and there is a great promise to Israel. The Lord is calling Israel back to himself. And one of the promises he gives is, all your offspring shall be taught of the Lord, and great shall be their shalom. And of course, this is our promise too. All your offspring, benayed. So this means your sons and daughters and your grandchildren. And I don't see why it can't be extended to great-grandchildren and on and on. It's just that back in those days, they probably lived only to see their grandchildren. But this is, benayed means that. It doesn't mean simply your male children. It means your male and female children and grandchildren. So all your offspring, all your benayed, all. That's right there, a great promise. Shall be taught of the Lord. Hallelujah. And great will be their shalom. Shalom is wonderful word in Hebrew. We just don't have a word that big in English to mean well-being, prosperity, peace of mind, nothing missing, nothing broken. So this is why we call it the Great Shalom. This is the verse of Scripture from which we take our name and is our foundational verse. So this is a great thing to pray over your children and encourage yourself with, that the Lord has promised this to you. So claim that promise. And another very famous and well-known scripture that should encourage you a great deal is Acts 16 and verse 31. And Paul and Silas, he's saying this to the Philippian jailer, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. So a Philippian jailer is going to have not just a wife and children, but also slaves, possibly servants, but slaves in that era and at that status. And all of those are under his, they're in his household, they're under his command. And Paul says to him, if he will believe, then the whole household will be saved. Of course, it's not some sort of magic deal, but it's the promise of the Lord. He does have authority over them, and he will be bringing them into a Christian lifestyle, and he can believe for them to receive it. But of course, they're going to act in a Christian lifestyle. And so, because that's the way it worked. But this we will take literally and apply to our own households. Yes, the Lord wishes to save your household. And so you are in covenant with the Lord, and therefore your spouse has some blessing and your children have some blessing. They are under a hedge of protection, and you can believe for their salvation. And I've heard tonight it preached from Acts 10 and 44. While Peter yet spoke these words, the Holy Spirit fell on all them which heard the word. And so this was Cornelius's house, I believe, fell on all that heard the word. That means all of Cornelius's household, because this was in his house. And so why not believe for the Holy Spirit infilling on all of your house as well as salvation? So, hedge of protection. Okay, if you're not familiar with that idea, let's go over to Ezekiel, first in the 13th chapter and the 5th verse. Ye have not gone up into the gaps, neither made up the hedge for the house of Israel to stand in the battle in the day of the Lord. And Ezekiel 22 and the 30th verse. And I saw from it among them that should make up the hedge and stand in the gap before me for the land, that I should not destroy it. But I found none. So the idea is that there is a protection. And at one time, you always built a wall around your city, or you put a hedge around your house. In fact, you see this very often in many lands today. They are going to plant a bunch of sotol cactus or some other kind of thorny bush around their house in order to make a barrier to keep wild animals and thieves and so forth out. And in these two verses, it's talking about people standing in the hedge being part of the prayer. You know, it can be warriors, literally, or prayer warriors, figuratively. So, just as there is a promise that there is a blessing and a holiness over your household because of your covenant, in the similar way, they are under your hedge of protection. Your hedge of protection. So the Lord protects us. And we see this in the story in Job. Job, of course, is a story of temporary out from under the protection of God. Which, of course, I think you don't need to worry about at all, because you're in Christ, right? And Jesus will never leave us or forsake us. But just to fill out this idea of hedge. So in Job, the first chapter, we see Satan talking to the Lord. And, you know, God said, hey, look at my servant Job. And Satan says, well, that's not so great, because you protect him. Hast thou not made a hedge about him and about his house? You see, his household. And about all that he hath on every side. Thou hast blessed the work of his hands, and his substance is increased in the land. So there is a hedge of protection. That's the point here, that this is how God works. And the hedge that you have is around your children to some extent. So this is something that you can use to encourage yourself and to pray for. So claim that hedge in your prayer. And there is a guardian angel. We wonder, I think, sometimes if this guardian angel is not simply another figment of people's imagination, because there are plenty of those. But no, guardian angels are clearly witness to in Scripture. So let me just read you a few verses here. Psalm 34 and 7. The angel of the Lord encampeth round about them that fear him and delivereth them. So the angels themselves are a hedge of protection. They camp round about us and they deliver us. Psalm 91 and 11. For he, God, shall give his angels charge over thee to keep thee in all thy ways. Psalm 91 is a psalm of protection. It's a great thing to pray over oneself. And then Jesus, our Lord, specifically said in Matthew, the 18th chapter and the 10th verse, take heed that ye despise not one of these little ones. So don't think ill of little children, for I say to you that in heaven their angels do always behold the face of my Father which is in heaven. So children do have guardian angels. Angels are sent here to minister to us and guarding us and helping us and delivering us, something that they do. And little children have them too. And so how children can be both encamped about and in heaven, well, you understand about phase shifting, don't you? It makes perfect sense when you're watching your Star Trek or other sci-fi movies, so don't cavil at that. All right, so the angels do protect your children, and you can pray them out and pray them to deliver your children. Even if your children are being rebellious, you can pray for protection for your children. Don't cancel from your mouth what you've prayed for. So if you've prayed that your son will come back to the Lord, get off of his addiction or whatever, then when you go turn around to talk to your friend, don't complain about that. Say, and don't say if, say when. When my son comes back to the Lord. When my daughter returns home. When and not if, and certainly not other things, because you discourage yourself, but you may bring confusion to your angels. They don't know what they're being commanded to do. So don't cancel your prayers with your words. Okay? That's one. Two is don't live in condemnation. Do not live in condemnation. In Romans 8, it says, there is now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. So we are very tempted, I think especially as mothers, to say, oh, I have done something wrong. Well, of course, you want to try as parents not to do something wrong. Try as teachers not to do something wrong and do our jobs well. But the point is that, well, even after we've done everything as perfectly as possible, we worry and we think, oh no, it's my fault. And psychology certainly encourages that, oh well, some kind of psychological thing with the mother attachment, and that's the problem. Well, you know, maybe the kid's just being rebellious. Maybe the kid's just been demonized. Maybe the kid's just gotten an addiction. Okay. Maybe you have done something terribly wrong. Just confess and be cleansed. For the Lord is faithful to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. 1 John 1 and 8. So, don't allow condemnation to attack you and to reduce your prayers. Rather, redouble your prayers. And particularly if Satan is poking at you, then quadruple your prayers. Yes? And I will mention this, that every famous, respectable, highly visible, out there, advanced teacher of the Word of God, pastor, apostle, whatever you want to call him, everyone that I know of has had some sort of trouble along these lines, either a child who has been rebellious, who has to test the waters outside, or a child who has been ill, seriously ill. So, and all of them has victories to tell about. Usually you don't know about it when it's going on. It's only later, and they're giving their testimony that this child is well, this child is back home, this child is off of drugs, this child is now working in the ministry. So often this is true, and I'm just bringing this up so that you will not feel condemned and therefore resign to your fate. No. This is an attack from the enemy also. And so let's pick up our sword and fight and win, because we have been assured of the victory. You see, it's much easier to fight when you know you're going to win. It's a lot of trouble to lift up that heavy sword and put up that shield of faith, because you want to just lie down and let the fiery arrows pummel you. No, you don't. Okay? And you know your child is going to come home, because they're not stupid. And in the business of comparing one thing with another in life, they're going to find that the pleasures of sin for a season don't last. And where they have gone is not as good as where they came from. Yes? So pray in faith. Don't cancel your words. Don't let condemnation come. And don't be cuckoo. Yeah, don't be cuckoo. There was a friend of mine, and I want to say I was counseling her about her grown kids not talking with her, but, you know, this gal doesn't talk to anybody unless they are seeking counsel from her, or she can at least believe that. Anyway, she told me that her children don't talk to her, and I'm thinking, yeah, and I'm not surprised, because you don't listen to anything anybody says. You only talk to them if they recognize you as holier than them. And this is the only kind of, no, you're just way too rigid. And so I'm not surprised if your children won't talk to you. So don't be kooky. You know, there is a, don't be too harsh. Don't exasperate them. And there's a verse about that in Ephesians 6. And what is it? The first verse, second verse, it says, parents, don't exasperate your children. Yes, well, it doesn't say that in King James, but that's what the Greek means. Don't exasperate your children by being too harsh or by being too kooky. You've got to show them love at all times. Even if you are saying no, and even if you're saying this is the boundary, you still can love them. And they must feel love. They must feel this unconditional love for you, from you at all times. Because if they are far away, and if they have chosen to get as far away out from under your covenant and your hedge of protection, then they will be more attacked by demons. And one day, they're going to hit rock bottom. They're going to have a situation so scary or so discouraging that they're going to need to call out to someone. Be sure that's you and not their drug dealer. Be sure that's you and not somebody of the opposite sex that seems to be handy. Show them unconditional love. Help them to know as much love as you can. Show them. And yes, certainly pray for good friends, you know, harvesters across their path, and pray early, at an early age, pray for God's protection over their spouses. But you be a source of love. And, you know, often there are strained relations for any number of reasons. Express your love. You can say, I love you, but I disagree with this. And they may manipulate you in that. Stand firm. I love you. I think this will hurt you, and that's why I must tell you that I disagree. But I love you. So express it, and don't jump into the argument, even though they may want to, And the demons certainly are goading both of you into it. That was so clear to me when I was filled with the Spirit when I was 14, and I could just tell my mother would go out of her way, it seemed, to push the buttons. But I had to be obedient and civil with my mother. It just seemed so obvious. It could have been more obvious if I could have seen the demons with my own eyes. And I don't want to see demons with my own eyes, but it just felt, this is too ridiculous to be happening without demons provoking this. The demons are making my mother say these most outrageous things, so that when I get up from my prayer and I'm called to go wash dishes or whatever, and then she's saying these ridiculous things, and the demons, and of course I wanted to be angry, but I thought, no, I'm not going to play the demon game. So I just kept my mouth shut and or said some scripture or prayed quietly and just did what I was supposed to do. And our parents, my sister was going to church with me at the same time, our parents said, this summer has been the most wonderful summer. Well, yes, because we have gotten saved and been going to church. And they just shook their heads. But anyway, they noticed enough to remark upon it. So this happens. Don't let the demons goad you into arguments. You may have to disagree, but be loving. And sometimes your children aren't very communicative. Pray in faith, because you know they'll come back, because you know that they will know that where they've gone is not as good as where they've come from. And they're not loved there. You know, the drug dealer and the prostitute or whatever say, come on, do this, it'll be fun, it'll be cool. But later on, they'll turn and say, you fool. So they need to know where the love source is. And if they're not communicative, you know, they're in the texting world today. They're not in the phone world or the email world. They're in the texting world, or maybe Snapchat or WeChat or whatever. You can send some emojis, you know, a heart and a kissy face and a hello, hi. Sometimes that's just as good as or better than anything else. Okay, so I hope that is helpful to you. Get up right close to Jesus. Pray for your kids in faith and with the encouragement of these scriptures. And know that when you enter into intercession, you're entering in to the ministry of Jesus. That's deep. It's also practical. And we should pray with our friends and our comrades and our congregations, whatever the right word is, and pray each one for the other one's child. Somehow it's so much easier because there's less discouragement. And let's lock our shield and go forth and be sure that our children are not stolen from us. Yes? Hallelujah, because we've been given promise that we should be increased, we and our children. And we've been given the promise in Psalms 112. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the one that fears the Lord and delighteth greatly in his commandments. That's us, yes. And his seed, our children, will be mighty upon the land, and the generation of the upright will be blessed. Wealth and riches be in his house, and his righteousness endureth forever. So under our covenant, our children are blessed, and we can claim this Psalm 2, Psalm 112, first three verses. Okay, thank you very much for being with us. Pray for us, I pray for you. And I think it's a good time to make an offer. Okay, so I have a CD message, Word Acceleration. It's a way to pray using the scriptures, and something that I have not shared here. This is not like what I shared in the past couple of. It's a specific procedure. And so that's on one CD. And then on two others, I've got three messages on healing and the promises about healing. So together, let's make a special offer for $10. And there is no way to do this electronically, as I as I record this. However, I almost said tape. Hopefully that will be coming in the near future. But for now, we have to do this in the analog world. So you have to send me a check to P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. P.O. Box 971, Cedar Park, Texas, 78630. Send $10 and you'll get three CDs. One is Word Acceleration and the other is Healing. And if you want a book on healing, go to www.lulu.com and find the book God Wants You Healed. And as far as I know, I was the first one who had that title. I believe that you will like it and you will find it interesting. The Lord told me to write that book. It was downloaded to me quickly and I wrote it. And the word acceleration too comes from back in the 2009, 2010. It hasn't been made available very often, but it was clearly a download from the Lord. I know that many people like a specific technique so that they know they're doing 1, 2, 3. And so it's not some sort of mysterious thing. And I think if we could accelerate our understanding of the Word and the Word into our lives, that would be a good thing. And it would certainly strengthen our prayers. Yes? You know, I'm just so strengthened by being able to share all of this with you. So I feel honored. I hope that this is blessing you. Please do feel free to communicate with me. You can go to the website at greatshalom.org and type in comments if it's about a specific episode. Or you can simply email me at info@greatshalom.org. Info like I-N-F-O and at great like big and shalom, S-H-A-L-O-M. And this is Sharon Sarles proclaiming that God wants total well-being for all children.
Thank you for joining us for the Great Shalom broadcast with your host, Sharon Sarles. Sharon is an author, educator, minister, parent, and grandparent committed to sharing the understanding of God's love and desire that all children experience optimal well-being in this generation and the generations to come. The Great Shalom broadcast is here to bring hope, health, and healing for children and youth by inspiring, informing, equipping parents and educators. For more information on today's program or today's offer, simply log on to thegreatshalom.org or email info@greatshalom.org.